Lucid. For all that you have done, for all that you have shown me, thank you. You have given everything. You are the man I always hoped you would become.
Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to The Last Kingdom with Mary and Blake. It's a podcast covering the show The Last Kingdom on Netflix. So sit back, relax, and let's see how England was made. Mary Larson.
My name is Blake. And I was equally shocked, impressed, and disappointed in this episode.
That's all the feels. Hashtag.
All of the... I had so many feels from this episode that I don't even know what to do with.
Okay.
And we're going to need an episode of The Last Kingdom with Mary and Blake to
digest and dissect
and just see what the hell happened with this episode.
Well, I am here for it. We, of course, are so excited. For those of you who are joining us in the live chat, let us know where you're tuning in from. Love to see you there. And thankful for all of you who've been on this adventure of listening to The Last Kingdom with Mary and Blake as we've covered season one of The Last Kingdom. Of course, we've been doing it much after the fact of when it was aired, but we're going to keep on going. So don't worry.
Keep subscribed.
Yes. Make sure you're subscribed in your podcast app of choice, because we are just going to keep plugging along. We don't have to wait. This is the beauty of when things are on Netflix,
right?
And you watch things late. You don't have to wait like everybody else a year, year and a half, 2 years. Who knows?
Keep going, man.
Exactly. So thank you all so much. All right, let's get into the show.
Well, Mary, this, the season one finale of The Last Kingdom.
Yeah.
Once again, directed by Peter Hoare, who directed the penultimate episode of The Last Kingdom. And if you recall from our last episode, if you get a chance to listen to it, Peter Hoare has helmed many different kinds of action-elemented television shows very specific kinds of television series, whether it was Doctor Who or Da Vinci's Demons, Daredevil, which, oh my goodness gracious, if you ever get a chance, go watch. Even though it's kind of been like negated now that the Disney Plus has taken over the Marvel, the MCU shows, the Netflix version of Daredevil is tremendous. Also, by the way, created by Drew Goddard, who was one of the main writers on Lost. You're welcome for that, world.
Okay.
Daredevil, Iron Fist, the Defenders, Runaways, Altered Carbon, Cloak and Dagger, and of course, as always, Mary and Blake media favorite, The Umbrella Academy. So those are the TV shows that Peter Hoare has helmed. And lastly, Chris Bouchard is once again the writer of this episode. And yes, it seems like he has written every episode of season one, which I think is both good and bad. Okay. I know he obviously has a writing staff. I know that there are other, you know, other producers, other co-producers.
He just gets his name on it.
He gets the credit.
He's like Hans Zimmer.
Yes, exactly. Hans Zimmer has...
I'm sure I scored that.
Yeah, he has many shadow composers. many shadow composers. But, you know, nevertheless, you know, he still writes and still gets credit. And I think this is a part of a conversation that we should have, Mary. And I want to get your opinion on that in a little bit. But before we do that, let's put a sword in that, because I refuse to say pin now.
Here you go.
We'll put a sword in that.
Before we get into the GBGs and our shield breakdown, we want to thank all of our friends at jointhenerdclan.com for making this, The Last Kingdom with Mary and Blake, even possible.
Yes.
For those of you who don't know, Blake and I, we have an entire media company at maryandblake.com. We cover all sorts of shows. And this is my full-time job, Blake's part-time job. We put our hearts and souls into it, but to help take away from some of the cost from having a media company, some people from the bottom of their hearts have contributed at jointhenerdclan.com. And as one of the perks, we let them pick one of our next podcasts, and this was it. So thank you all so, so very much for making this possible. All right, so Shields rating for this, the season one finale.
Yes.
I'm giving it a 4.9.
Okay. All right. So right in line with the penultimate
episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Good. For me, I'm going to give it, a 4.59.
That is so low.
Yeah.
I am shooketh.
I think there's a lot of great stuff to be had in this episode, especially with Uhtred and, of course, the scene that we played right at the beginning, right at the top of our episode here. That is a genuine moment, a genuine scene. But there's just so much where I look at it and I say, what are we doing? Like, I was again, equally parts happy, shocked, and disappointed in this episode. So we'll get to that. Your GBGs, Marvin, you're good, you're bad, and you're great.
My good was the fact that young Otter is dead. Bye. Goodbye.
Oh yeah, goodbye.
Don't have to worry about you anymore. That
See you
is
later.
Just I'm all set.
We're
I've
done,
been
we're
all
with
set
you.
With young Otter, and I'm glad he's gone. I'm shocked by the way that he went, but I'm glad he's gone. My bad for this episode is that Leofric is dead.
Yeah, Leofric dying is not fun.
Yeah, no. No.
Not fun.
Not a fan of that.
And I think there's a debate to be had here about the relationship that he and Uhtred share, and if it is a good thing for the show or a bad thing for the show that Leofric is gone.
I liked it. I liked him being there, so I'm sad that he's gone.
Yeah.
And then my great was the clip that you played in the beginning of this episode. All of the pride that Father Bjorka has with Uhtred, knowing that this is the season one finale, and from the beginning, Mr. Bookend Lover. You know, we have Father Bjorka baptizing Uhtred, taking Uhtred under his arm, talking about the importance of written word, all that kind of stuff in episode one. So now to have this where he gets to see Uhtred as a man and is very, very proud of the man that he's become, I just thought was a beautiful way to end this season.
Yep. And then also let's talk about the bookend. Let's talk about the bookend of Father Bjorka baptizing Uhtred and talking about the power of the word. And at the end of this season, we have Guthrum being baptized, recognizing the power of the word and converting to Christianity. You know, it's a whole thing. So again, there's some great thematic stuff.
Agreed.
Here.
I think that your scoring was rather low, but what was your GBG? Okay.
My good first was the direction of this episode. Once again, the direction of The Last Kingdom is tremendous, and it's a good benchmark from the first minute of this series. You understood where you are, when you are, how you are. And that does not change through the entire season. And it really makes its claim in the finale. Whether it is the big overhead shots that this show is now known for, where, you know, you're watching the horsemen go off in different directions to, you know, a real visual storytelling of, okay, three horsemen going straight, one's going left, one's going right. Or whether it is the big battle and how the battle is coming to a head between its combatants. Or even the more intimate portions of the battle. Getting in the real nitty gritty behind the shield wall and seeing people getting stabbed through little minuscule holes.
The unmarried favorite part.
Yeah. So it not only shows you the big picture of the battle, but the small claustrophobic inner workings of how this battle is actually being fought. And then, of course, the shot of Uhtred getting out from behind his lines, climbing on top of the shields, getting behind their lines, killing all these people. Just tremendous direction all around.
Yeah.
Peter Hoare really, really made it happen.
I would not have made that choice.
What?
Jump on over the shield wall, jump on over the other shield wall, just go in there. I am sorry, but you're not Jon Snow.
No. Very few people are. Yeah. Very few people are Jon Snow. Where's my... here it is.
You know nothing, Jon Snow.
There you go. Found it. My bad. There's a few bads here. First of all, the VO at the end of the episode.
Oh, I don't even remember it.
It's, you know, he's like, oh, yeah, and Guthrum got baptized. Oh, yeah. And then, yeah, there was Breeda and Ragnar. They're prisoners now. And I'm just going to go. Like, it just came out of nowhere. Like, the show has not established any voiceover whatsoever.
Okay. It was kind of like a little epilogue.
Yeah, and it was an epilogue. But the language, the language of the show dictates so much more than just like, okay, here's our wrap up. Like, and everything just gets wrapped up in this tight, nice, neat little bow.
But when they were filming season one, they did not know that there was going to be a season two. And I feel like they kind of had to do this. Like,
I would agree.
If this needs to stand alone, which it did essentially on the BBC until Netflix scooped it up. Like, if this needs to be a standalone one season series, we need to tie up a few extra things.
Yeah, there are some things that needed to get tied up. And I think about it and I'm like, okay, could this season have done with one more episode? And I would probably say yeah.
Yeah, I would agree.
I would say, yeah, it probably could do with one more episode.
It would have been literally the bow tying episode. Like, and then this happened. It would be everything you voiced over.
Yeah.
Plus a little extra, you know, a proper scene, probably the funeral for Leah Frick.
Leah Fritch.
Whatever. He's dead. It doesn't matter.
Don't matter no more.
It doesn't matter. Maybe a couple more conversations between the king and Uhtred. But on the flip side, they only had so much. They had to make these decisions.
Right, right. So, but my great, though, of course, is, I mean, just the conversation between Beaka and Uhtred.
I love when we agree on our greats.
I love everything that comes from this scene.
Aside from him being Quirrell, yes.
Yeah, that's true. Good point.
Professor Quirrell.
Good point. It's... You know, Mary, you are right in terms of the book ending, and this is why there's Mary and Blake Media, and this is why there are commandments in Mary and Blake Media. You know, just the book ending of it is just so special and so appropriate. And if this were to be just one season of television, this would be a satisfying season of television.
Agreed.
You know, you start one way and you end a completely different way for Uhtred and even Alfred. There, everything that has gone on between these men and Beaka and how Uhtred has transformed and everything that he has given up, it puts him on a path. If you were to end it this one season, puts him right back in the hands of Bebbanburg, because Alfred is the one who refers to Uhtred as Uhtred of Bebbanburg at the end. So if this were the end, you would think, okay, there he's got Bebbanburg now. That's the end. But if it's not the end, it at least puts him on the path to get that way, which we all know now that it's not the end. There's more seasons of television to go. So I that conversation was just a perfect representation of all the thematic issues this show has dealt with this entire season. How much are you willing to give up? What are you loyal to? Mm-hmm. Where do you plant your flag?
Yeah.
And Uhtred just weeping in Beaka's arms is great.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, confirmation of Beaka's feelings for Uhtred. Just really, truly beautiful stuff.
Agreed.
So I was a big fan of that. So what else, Marvin, does this stand out to you for this episode? Where do you want to begin?
I mean, I kind of just want to go through things chronologically, if we could.
All right.
So, of course, the decision is made that we need to go and we need to go fight now. Mm-hmm. And Alfred picks two randos and a nun to go be his messengers. Actually, one rando, the priest that got on our nerves, but has beautiful hair.
Oh, Asser.
And the nun. Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Yeah.
He sends them off, and this is a bold choice. What is this nun's name?
Hild.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
She's, I mean, good for her. I think she's got some part Viking in her because she is just a really strong. I am surprised she hasn't made her nun dress pants.
Good point.
You'd think with like all the fighting and the riding and the just, you know, taking care of things, she'd be like, you know, I'm going to alter this outfit just a little bit to more suit my needs. So he sends them off saying, go get me some people for my battles. And they all go off to go find young Otter.
Yeah, this was a big shocking point for me. I absolutely did not see this coming.
Did you not see that Otter was going to betray them and team up?
Oh, no, I figured that was going to happen.
You thought he was going to team up with Bloody Teeth?
Yeah, no, like Scorpa. As soon as Scorpa ends up on Otta's door, I knew that this guy, he's got nothing. There's no way
he scares me. I know Scorpa's fake, and he scares me.
But what I did not see coming, was Otta the Elder killing his own son.
Oh my gosh.
Holy smokes. That is a narrative choice. Oh my goodness. I remember when that happened, I was thinking, oh, like I even said out loud, like, oh my God. Mm. Like when we were watching it.
We both audibly were in shock.
Right. Because Otto the Elder, he has dealt with his son, like he's put up with him, mm-hmm. But it's still his son. And it's still, you know, he's still the next in line, yes, for that family. You know, it's a big deal. But what happens is the guy just straight up stabs him in mid-sentence, and he sees Alfred, and I think he just recognizes there's no way of coming back from this. There's no amount of talking. There's no amount of...
I mean, because that was a big choice. He could have stood up as Otto the Elder and had seen the king and said, listen, no, you're making the wrong choice, my son. And kind of just, you know, like put his son in his place. But his son has already made the deal. Older Otter has kind of already stood by it. I mean, granted, we don't know his cognitive wherewithal. I think that that's the other thing that is a little left in the gray area. Obviously, he was slashed in the face. He's being really cared for by Mildred. So we don't know if he signed off on the Scorpa thing at all. Or if he's been privately saying, you made a really bad choice and I want to find a way to get out of it.
Or is he making this choice because he got messed up and he's not seeing everything clearly, right? He's not, like, he's making a rash choice because...
To kill his son?
To kill his son.
Exactly.
Because he got hurt and you don't know how much brain damage there is. You don't know any of that
stuff. Or is he finding out about this Scorpa thing right then and there?
Right.
You know, yeah. Is this all like, oh my gosh, I've been sitting on this couch just watching Netflix and eating popcorn and my son did all these things that I didn't know about. I see the king's right there. I know my son's in the wrong. I need to fix this right now. Yeah. We don't necessarily know, so I feel a little awkward with it. But no matter what, I did feel so badly when he was calling to the king, you know, please forgive him. Please forgive him.
Yeah.
And it's like, buddy, like, no.
Right.
And you just killed your son.
There's a lot happening.
You're going to have to live with that. You're going to have to live with that.
There's a lot happening here. And it shows the kind of mirror for Uhtred that what he's going to have to do going forward. And what really Uhtred does do. I mean, he really does give up so much for Alfred and for England and for Wessex. I mean, whether it is, he doesn't give up his relationship with his brother necessarily, with Ragnar, but it does go away. He does save Ragnar in the battle, which is an interesting thing I want to talk about.
Love it.
But
he loses his son. I mean, we get to go see him go back to his house, see that his son had died. We need to question that death too. You know, and Alfred, of course, is there knowing that his son is alive, not necessarily knowing it wasn't even trade, but knowing the plight and the sadness that a father can have, particularly a father of a son, you know, and heirs with the male line were very important.
He loses his wife. Granted, that was by choice, but still loses his wife, who refuses to speak to him now. Loses his queen, loses Isolde, which is... the thing that just drives him banana land, which makes him want to go kill Scorpa and go right into the shield wall. He's gone. His
I think it was everything.
Gone.
I think that that was the straw that broke the camel's back. Yeah. I know that we're supposed to believe in like this ooh love story. I've seen him now like kind of love three people within eight episodes.
Yeah, now that so is that a question is, we have to talk about.
To me, I'm like, that's the last straw. You know, like he loves this girl, but he loved Brita. He was like falling for
Mildred.
You know, he had a son and then he didn't really care about his son. But, you know, he cried his tears over his son. So I just think it was everything.
Yeah. And so here's two questions I have for you. Did you feel as bad as you think you should have felt when his son died, like when his son was gone? Or
no.
And also next, do you care about Esalt dying and do you care about his love interests in this series?
So I will say this. There is still, and no one except Father Bjorka that I love. I'm rooting for Uhtred. I don't love him.
Yes.
Like, I don't want to be his honey. I don't really want to even, like, hang out with him.
It's not like Jaime.
Did a far assassin.
No.
Where you're like,
He
is no Jaime Fraser so far.
No.
No, not at all.
No.
And I would even say that he's not even Jon Snow yet.
You know nothing, Jon Snow.
I'm rooting for him and I'm excited for him and I think that he is, because he's not them, he has no baggage, he has no ties, and he does get to be a ruthless warrior. And
yes.
We get to go on this really grand adventure with him and see the metamorphosis of Uhtred. But that being said, like, I don't love Uhtred in the sense that I don't care that his most recent honey died.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I felt bad.
I feel bad about Leofric.
Yeah, the Leofric dying was bad.
That was rough.
That was bad. And it's also such a non-momentous death. It mm-hmm. just, he just gets caught in the neck.
But such is life, right?
Yeah,
think
right.
about how many of these grand soldiers who've done extraordinary things are snuffed out
yeah,
like a
right.
candle. The baby thing is complex, being parents ourselves. You know, just the idea of a baby dying is incredibly sad for anyone. But you're also talking about Uhtred, who said, that is no longer a son of mine.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, when he's sitting there crying about his child, like, I feel bad. Like, I genuinely
do. You abandoned this kid.
And you abandoned his mother. And
so you still have the right to cry, but I'm not necessarily feeling that pain for you.
Right.
I didn't cry along with him.
Like, you were like, this is no child of mine now that he's been baptized. And again, listen, I don't agree with it, but I get it. I get why that choice was made.
I think I'm just Team Father Bjorka.
I think you kind of are too. I don't think that's a bad thing,
but that's my person. If he died, I might have been really sad.
Now, this all kind of wraps around one central question, Mary, which is, Chris Bouchard wrote this entire season. And, you know, you're looking at it not necessarily as an auteur who is creating from, you know, screen to film, like the whole thing. But you are looking at someone who has written the whole season. And he was in sole control of the entire narrative. He's got all the credits. Do you like knowing that one writer has written the entire series? Or do you like it better, let's say, with like The Leftovers or Outlander or Gilmore Girls when they're, well, like Gilmore Girls was mainly, what's her name? But
This Is Us.
A writing team, there's a staff, they each get credit, they're bouncing ideas off of each other. Or do you like when one person has control, complete narrative control?
For this show, I actually applaud this choice.
How come?
Because there's so much shifting around between different characters, between different lovers, all this kind of stuff that I don't feel sturdy. I'm not in the same place each episode. I'm not seeing the same warriors each episode. They're fighting different people every time. Uhtred doesn't know if he's Saxon, if he's not
right.
every other episode. So for me, having the continuity of the same writer to have the same feel was good for me, because there are moments in the shows that you've mentioned beforehand where different writers try different things, particularly in Outlander. Like, they say, okay, we're going to go all in and do this aspect, and you feel that it's different,
mm-hmm.
but you have the same characters. You're off in the same place. Like,
yep.
there's not, they'll sprinkle in new people, but everything else is the same, so that's okay. And I think if it was just Uhtred and the same people in the same place, I'd be okay. This is us. They're like in two places. They're at camp or they're home. Like,
yeah.
You know, they don't even have friends. Like, right. So for me to have a different writer, it adds that different flavor to the episodes. So I'm okay with it in this case.
Yeah, I think in this case, I'm okay with it too. I mean, this is a big sprawling show like this, but it is focused specifically on Uhtred and on his fate and the dramatic irony. Well, not dramatic irony, but like the thematic portions of what the show is trying to accomplish. I mean, you go from Alfred, who trusts Otto the Younger and Wolf here to no end. These are the people that gave Uhtred the punishment for going off to do the what's it called? The pillaging, you know, as mm-hmm. Danes. But yet it is Wolf here and Otto the Younger who at the first sign of real problems betrays
yes.
Alfred, and it's Uhtred who sticks around
yes.
to do what he needs to do. And Leofric, a person who is essentially tied for life to Otto the Younger. Just, I don't know. It's just the way that it is. Who knows?
Yeah, he's like, you're still my man? Yes, I am. I mean, this is the moment when you can say, I think I want to change sides.
But he does, essentially, by saying, I cannot yes. kill Uhtred. There are a lot of different things. Uhtred has given up and stood by everything that he's lost, whether it is his son, or it is Mildred, or it is Queen Isolt, or whoever. He stuck by and helped Alfred come up with a plan to do what he needed to do, mm-hmm. whereas Alfred's most trusted advisors were the ones who betrayed him. It's an interesting dichotomy.
It definitely is, and it'll be interesting to see how it does play out in the future because of that relationship that he has.
Yeah, what did you think of Ethelwald not killing Alfred? I mean, obviously we know due to history that this does not happen.
I mean, I didn't know because I didn't really pay attention to any of that in history, if that was even taught to me. But I'm glad, you know, as I saw Ethelwald walk up there, all I was thinking was, how are you going to get away? Like, you're going to be right here on top of this hill. He's literally got an army of his best warriors up here that may see you stab him. Even if you walk him over the other side of the hill, how far are you going to get before someone notices that the king was killed?
Yeah, like, all of a sudden the guy's laying on the ground and you just see this two little feet yes. running into the woods.
Yes.
Like, yeah, no way.
Yeah. Yes. No. I mean, you think about personal survival, and that's where his mind was whirling. Is this army going to show up? How am I going to live? So it was definitely an interesting evolution of Ethelwald. You know, we got to see young Otter. We've just had a bad feeling about him from get-go. Ethelwald is in a gray area. We are told not to trust him. We are told that he is immature. You know, we got to see him saying, I'm the rightful king, pledging his allegiance to Guthrum. And yet when it comes down to it, whether he's scared and he makes the right choice, or he sees Alfred right. as the king and yep. realizes this is the man, and the troops did rally for him, and I am in no shape to be king.
Right. And that is only proven. And I think there's this great scene between Alfred and Ethelwald where Ethelwald recognizes that he can't be king, and it's not because he's, you know, a drunkard or a womanizer or whatever, but there's a great visual storytelling device being used here when Alfred says to Ethelwald, look out there, the shadows are changing. Mm-hmm. Do you see that? And Ethelwald says, no, I don't see anything. And then all of a sudden the swords of Wessex show up.
Yes.
And it's just a recognition for the show, and I think for Ethelwald, who was conspiring to kill the king,
mm-hmm.
he can't see the things that Alfred does.
Yes.
He can't see the grand vision for England.
And the faith in England, that right. it will pull through, that the men of Wessex and the men of England are going to come together and fight for this cause.
And Alfred, too, here has an arc himself. Mm-hmm. There is a recognition that just God himself is not going to get this done. God himself won't just stand by and save his child or make the English win. I mean, mm-hmm. it comes down to, like, there's also the great back and forth between Uhtred and Alfred, where he's like, we're going to talk about getting revenge, and we're going to talk about all this stuff. And notice that it's Alfred who makes the speech. And what happened in the beginning of the season is he was afraid that people wouldn't see him as Ward. Yes, he was afraid that people would see him as weak, and that he had Leah Fritch doing the talking for him in the big battle
but
sequences.
But that speech, when he has all the warriors, and you know he's yelling, and okay, we're going to go get them, and then No Mercy and No Chant ends up starting up eventually, too. He keeps yelling, and if you rewatch it, it is hysterical because all of the warriors and the men that ended up showing up, they're all yelling, we're going to go get him. They're yelling so much that there is absolutely positively no way that they could have heard the king's battle cries.
He just keeps going.
Yeah, he's having this like momentous moment like, listen to me, I'm the king and we're going to do great. They can't hear you, buddy.
Yeah, no.
You don't even have a megaphone.
Yeah, just
like you're no Mel Gibson on a horse yelling with this really loud voice. You're Alfred, nice voice.
Yeah,
probably a great chamber choir voice.
Not Mel Gibson.
That is not going to carry.
And then another big problem I have with this episode: mid battle.
Okay.
Mid battle.
Yep.
No mercy. No mercy. And they freeze frame it.
That was terrible with Alfred. It reminded me of Harry Potter flying on his fireball.
You're a wizard, Harry.
End of Prisoner of Azkaban.
Yeah.
Whee! Freeze frame.
Like, I get what they're trying to go here with this, like, for, like, it's a moment in time. This is the moment.
Didn't do it for me.
The frozen moment in time where Alfred becomes not only just Alfred, but Alfred the Great, the man who saves England. And it's also reminiscent of a painting. This is the moment in time that can be recognized as a painting, that it can like it can show you the path of England. This is the beginning moment. But it did not work.
No.
It did not work.
It was laughable. And you're in the midst of battle and people dying in gruesome ways. I did have to cover my eyes half the time. It was really gross.
Yes.
But that didn't work. Of course, we see the main fight, and Scorpa realizes, you know, this isn't going to go well. They're shield wall to shield wall. How does this work? This is stupid. Let's just go around it. I was nervous that he was going to do what we saw in the initial battle from episode one.
Surround them.
Where he was going to surround them. I was actually really, really nervous that there was some sneak attack going on. Of course, they just went and killed all the nuns and women and old people.
Right.
Including beheading Isolde, just to make us hate Scorpa even more and to make his death by Uhtred, the great Shieldwall jumper.
Yeah, right.
Even better. Who needs Uhtred the godless? Uhtred the Shieldwall jumper.
And not only that, but Bjarke's words to Scorpa come true, that his spear would find him in battle. And it really does. And that's another thing that I kind of was like, all right.
Yes.
What are we doing?
No, because, I loved it. I loved it.
Because it was like Father Bjarke, hey, Uhtred, here's my spear. He just hucks a spear at him.
I loved it because this is the only steady relationship that I've had was Uhtred and Father Bjarke. And for Father Bjarke to be like, no, I'm going to be in battle and I will see you there because I am so over you and these Danes and all this fighting. And we've been watching the Olympics now. And it was kind of nice. It was like a soccer pass. Like, go get it. You know.
By the way, Father Bjarke says, "Did your mother tell you that she should have kept her legs closer?" Meaning, Father Bjarke drops the first "Yo Mama" joke.
Yeah.
In the history of the world.
Love it. And then Alfred tells him what to like wash his mouth out.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna do that with a lot of ale. Lot of ale.
Father Bjarke.
He knew probably overstepped a little bit.
Hey,
stepped the line over there a little bit.
He did not care. He did not care.
Do you think? Well, we learned from Isolde what Scorpa said to her, which was...
The secret that the sister, Swan Lake Tira, is still alive. I mean, hello,
and that
not
she's
a great
being
secret.
Raped and the whole thing. Like, she's being held by Idyshay Sven.
Yeah, but like, that wasn't a secret to me.
Yeah.
I figured that out a long time ago. I thought Scorpa was going to have some other cool stuff, like his sister's here and I got him. Why wouldn't she have told him that? Because he would have gone after and
he
left his battle.
Correct. Okay. And his calling was to help save Wessex, I guess. Do you think that Isolde knew that she was going to die?
Oh, 100%. For all of the times that she would say, I'm with you to the end, and the way that he would say things to her, like after battle, X, Y, Z, and she'd just kind of give him a little smile.
Yeah.
It made me think, I don't know if any of you have been in a relationship where you know you're going to break up and you know when you're going to break up with this person.
Right.
And then you still have to hang out with them, like, you know, for a school event or mm-hmm. something. But you're like, I am breaking up with this person. They'll be like, oh, and at Christmas, I'm going to take you here. And you're like, oh, nice plan.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what it made me feel like, except she knows she's going to die, not break up with them.
Yeah. So does that make it worse for you or does that make it?
I didn't love her.
See, I kind of liked her.
Of course you did, because she's like this smoking hot lady who's like, come to kaboom. Yeah, no.
By the way, the rumpy pumpy in this episode, it was good.
I've seen better.
It was fire lit.
I've seen better.
I mean, I'm not saying it was great.
I don't care about her, and I know that he's just going to find a new girl in two episodes in season two. So it's I'm over it.
That's fair. That is absolutely fair. Wolf here.
Brita sex, I bet, would have been much better. Wasn't when we saw it. But I feel like Brita, she commands.
She knows her way around the bed.
She's like 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah, you know what? I'll go with you on that one.
Right? I'm going to put my axe down and take some other toys out.
She'd do things to you that make you feel embarrassed about yourself.
Yes. I would like some Brita Ragnar sex. That's what I'd like.
That will come about. I hope so. I've got a feeling that will come about.
They're stuck in a cage together. 50 Shades.
Good point. There's also this great moment too with Uhtred and how it kind of foreshadows Wolf here's betrayal, because that reveal too at the battle with Wolf here at the Danes lines, that was a good reveal. One, because Wolf here asks Uhtred, do you really think we can beat the Danes? Do you think we can do it? And Uhtred doesn't say anything. He's just kind of like, yeah, I'll see you out there. And then Wolfhere's gone, and they take the guy that was there with the horses. And, you know, apparently now it's that random dude, the horse guy, and Hild and Uhtred going off after the battle to go do whatever they're going to do.
I mean, honestly, I would have probably sent a few other people.
I don't know.
Did they even have weapons?
I don't know. Like, and are
Do people kill? We don't live in those times, but like, would you shoot the messenger?
Probably.
Right? Like a Dane would be like, oh, you've got a note. I can't read it. Who's it from? The king. Boom, you're dead. Just saying.
Yeah. I mean, it's true. Do you think Wolfhere got it, what he deserved? I mean, no, he got what he deserved, but was it like, I felt like that kind of came out of nowhere.
It came out of nowhere and I didn't care.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't love him.
Fair enough. I get it. Anything else you want to talk about?
I want more people to learn how to read. That I felt like was built up to nothing. And then also, remember how like episode one, there was this whole question like, she's not my real mother, that Uhtred said to his dad. His dad was like, go listen to your mom. She's not my real mom.
Oh, yeah.
I've been waiting all this time for like his real mom to be like a fairy or something. And, or that he is half Dane, half Saxon.
Right.
I've been waiting it. Nothing happened. That was anticlimactic.
I don't think we're going to get anything out of that anytime
soon. Then why
even
say that?
To maybe just set it up.
Set what up?
The reveal of his mother. I don't know.
Even ever going to get it is what I'm getting at.
Maybe. We'll probably get that down the line.
Hope so. Probably. I was hoping it would be today, but it is not.
So there are a lot of things I think that are great about this episode, and then there are a lot of things that are just quite bothersome that just show up, like that VO at the end. That was just...
That ruffled your feather so much that I think that is what soured it, specifically for it to be at the end.
Yeah, because it came out of nowhere.
But like, now that you've gotten it off your chest and we know how you feel about voiceovers, we can actually...
I love voiceovers. I mean, give me a good Goodfellas voiceover any day. But set that up so that it's within the language of the show. When you watch Goodfellas, the first thing that comes out of the movie is, you know, ever since I was a kid, I always wanted to be a gangster. And that doesn't happen here. So hold on. I think we have. Hello? Oh, it's our little lass. It's okay. We're all right here. Sorry for that moment in time. She's going to be joining us in the studio, I think, in a couple minutes. But what I'm getting at is this. Set that up so that it's a thing in the beginning of the show. if you want to do the VO, give me the ever since I was a kid, I always wanted to be a gangsta. Just do that. Even like Outlander, okay? Outlander, I mean, for as much as I hate the VO, at least it does it from the beginning. You know what I mean? So that's that.
I mean, every episode starts with, I'm Uhtred, son of Uhtred.
Yeah.
I am the son of ba-ba-ba. This is what I'm doing. Here's my voiceover at the beginning of every episode.
Yeah, but that's not part of the narrative. I mean, that's just the recap.
The previously on.
So.
Okay. Well, can you just be over it? Because I feel like I've heard you complain about VO so much. And maybe people, this is their first time meeting us through The Last Kingdom.
Yes.
And if it is, I apologize that I'm cutting off Blake's tirade against voiceovers. But for those of us who've been with Blake for a while, we know how he feels. We know.
All right. Anything else that you want to talk about in this season? You know what? Let's do this too. Your season rating, Mary. Ooh. What would you give this first season of The Last Kingdom?
I give it a 4.7.
I think I'm right there with you.
Yeah. A solid show.
A solid show.
A grand adventure.
I enjoyed it. I thought it told a complete story with enough questions to last, like Tira. That's a question that has to be addressed. Mm-hmm. Bebbanburg, how far does Uhtred have to travel to get to Bebbanburg, and what does he have to do? Is it just as quickly as, okay, I have to go kill Uncle Scar, whose real name is Aelfric?
Oh yeah.
That's a thing. That's a dangling question that has to be answered.
Yeah.
So there is enough narrative juice, but it did tell enough of a complete thematic story to suffice for its first season. So that's that. Anything else?
That is it.
All right, let's close this bad boy out, shall we?
We shall. Thank you all so very, very much for hanging out with us as we have watched the first entire season and podcasted about it. As I said, if you are not yet a member at jointhenerdclan.com, this is your formal invitation to come on over and join us for as little as $2 a month. It honestly makes a huge, huge, huge difference. Podcasting is something that Blake and I truly believe in. We love connecting with others about these fandoms that we, you know, some of which we knew before, some of which have been brand new to us and brand new to you. But we really, really appreciate your fiscal support so we can keep this media company up and running. So thank you. So for those of you who are already members, and thank you for those of you who are going to become members.
Not only that, go to maryandblake.com. Check out all the great podcasts that we have going on over there, whether it is Outlander Cast or The Last Kingdom. I'm sorry, The Last Kingdom with Mary. You're listening to The Last Kingdom with Mary and Blake. Oh, my goodness. How you can tell that the hosts are just tired. Or if it is This Is Us 2 or The Potterverse or any one of the great 15 shows that Mary and I offer, you can go to maryandblake.com, check that out, as well as get in touch with us through any of the social media platforms, whether it is Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, or email us at maryandblakemedia@gmail.com. We are here to chat with you about The Last Kingdom. You know, I think I'd kind of like to get some more listener feedback for the next season or the future seasons. So if you have some things to talk about, please email us and we'll get those involved in the show as well going forward.
That's right. Well, for now, my name is Mary.
My name is Blake.
Destiny is all.